by pursuing it further. He sighed deeply. She and Noah are living with me, but things between us are different now. He meant since he accidentally said Sam's name at a critical moment with Shelby. I thought you guys had gotten past that. I thought so too, but it's different. I just wondered if she's that way with me or everyone, and I didn't know who else to ask. As you and the rest of the world know, I've never had a baby, but I imagine if I did, he or she would take over my life to the exclusion of just about everything else. Including Nick. Sam hesitated, because she couldn't picture any scenario that would result in her wanting to exclude Nick. We'd both be preoccupied with the baby. A shaft of pain lanced her heart. This topic struck way too close to home, especially after her recent pregnancy scare. Though she could hardly call it that when she wanted to be pregnant more than she wanted just about anything. I'm sorry. It's insensitive on so many levels for me to talk to you about this. Sam's fertility struggles were no longer a well-kept secret. She'd gotten a lot of attention for her address to an organization that supported fertility-challenged women like herself. She's a new mom at 43, Sam said of Shelby. She's over the moon with the baby. Give it some time, Avery. Things will be back to normal in a few weeks when you settle into a new routine. Nodding, he said, I'm sure you're right. When have you ever known me not to be? His snort of laughter was more like the Avery she knew. Why don't you stick around and attend our morning meeting about the shooting? You can make the crime lab report.
Sure, I can do that.
And, thanks, you know, for the advice. Anytime. Sam wanted Shelby to be happy, and she wanted that for Avery, too, even after all the trouble his crush had caused. She wanted that crush in the past where it belonged, and Avery's concern about his relationship with Shelby was a good indication that he'd moved on. She could only hope so for everyone's sake. Give me the highlights of the report.
We found prints belonging to the owner of the car, who's in the system, as well as another set that we tied to his significant other, also in the system.
A match made in crime. Sam batted her eyelashes. You gotta love a good romance.
Indeed, Avery said, grinning. We found gunpowder residue on the passenger side and other hairs and fibers that are being further analyzed. The conclusion was that this could be the car that was used in the shootings, but we can't say that conclusively.
Most people, even career criminals, don't go around shooting at people from their car. So I think we can conclude there's a pretty good chance this is our vehicle.
I agree.
So even though the car didn't yield tangible leads, it told us one thing we didn't already know. That we have perps smart enough to glove up so they won't leave prints behind.
What are you thinking?
Between that and a trigger man, or woman, who is good enough to shoot to kill at high speed, we're looking for a professional marksman here, which probably rules out Simmons.
What's their endgame?
Your guess is as good as mine. Domestic terrorism? Has there been any chatter about terrorizing the district in recent weeks?
Nothing out of the ordinary, but I'll have my team dig a little deeper on that.
That would help. Sam gathered up the reports and her notebook. Let's move to the conference room to get everyone on the same page. Chapter 13. Sam followed Avery out of the office and noted the pit had filled up while she'd been in the office. She saw Cruz talking to Green, and once again thanked the God of Partners for giving her such a great one. He knew today would be tough for Green and the squad, and had made the overture. Let's move to the conference room to make a plan for the day, people. The others followed her into the room where the murder board had been updated, and the one for Peter thankfully dismantled. Captain Malone came in, tall coffee in hand, and nodded to Sam and Hill. With everyone settled around the table, Sam said, I want to start by welcoming Detective Green to the squad. We're looking forward to working with you.
Green smiled. Likewise. Thanks, Lieutenant. Look, I'm not going to mince words, Sam said.
Why start now?
Freddy said under his breath, setting off a wave of nervous laughter that had Sam smiling right along with her colleagues. A little comic relief was just what they needed. As I was saying, Sam said with a glare for Freddy, I'm not going to mince words about Detective Green joining our team and the very big shoes he's filling. Sam noticed Jeannie dabbing at the corner of her eye at Sam's mention of Arnold's big feet. If anyone feels the need to reach out for assistance at any time, my door is always open, as is Dr. Trullo's. If you need help, ask for it. She took a breath to change course. Agent Hill will update us on what the lab found in the car. Avery went over the lab's findings and the deductions he and Sam had come to earlier.
My team will take a closer look at the possibility of domestic terrorism as a motive, although the drive-by shooting hasn't been the M.O. of any known group. Not yet, anyway.
Are we thinking the shootings are over or on pause?
Gonzo asked.
Hard telling, Malone said. Last night was quiet, but who knows if tonight will be. We've had a few things come into the tip line that are worth follow-up.
He passed several sheets of paper to Gonzo, who handed them to Sam. After a quick perusal, she determined that none of them took priority over her original plan for the day. I want to spend today digging into our VICs and witnesses, as well as working the sharpshooter angle. Jeannie, will you take the couple who witnessed the shooting of Melody Kramer, as well as the sisters of Jamal Jackson? Gonzo, you and Green can take the Kapoors. Freddy and I will dig into Melody Kramer and Caroline Brinkley. Everyone take one of these tips, too. She put the papers from Malone on the table.
I'll keep digging on the sharpshooter possibility, Malone said.
Great, thanks. Let's meet back here at 1600 to see where we are. Hopefully her meeting with Forrester wouldn't take more than 30 minutes. The information Nick had given her had gone a long way toward allaying her worries, making it possible to get something done today. The others filed out with their assignments.
I'll be back in touch if I have anything for you,
Avery said on his way out. Thanks.
Where to first? Freddy asked.
I want to talk to Joe Kramer.
I was afraid you were going to say that.
Lieutenant, Malone called,
as Sam was ready to make her escape toward the morgue.
A minute of your time before you leave, please.
I'll catch up to you, she said to Freddy.
I'll meet you outside.
Sam ducked into the office. Malone followed her and closed the door.
About Stahl and the Alfred plea.
No deal. Sam met her captain's cool gray eyes across the desk. I spoke to my dad and Nick about it, and they agree. We want to hear him say he did it, or watch him be convicted without giving him any kind of leeway.
I'll pass that along.
I hope you understand, Captain. It might be easier for the department and everyone involved to take the Alfred, but we're not looking for an easy way out for us, or especially for him.
I totally understand. And this isn't about what's best for the department. It's about what was done to you and getting justice for you.
Letting him off the hook in any way wouldn't be justice.
Understood. I'll let you get to work. You'll let us know what happens with Forrester.
Sam glanced at the door and saw that everyone else was occupied. Nick told me last night that he requested a courtesy heads up from the AG if an indictment was imminent. There's been no heads up. Malone's smug smile relieved some of the tension in his face.
Is that right? Well, that's good to know.
I thought so, too.
Bet you did. At any rate, let us know when he makes it official.
We need to prepare for Ramsey being less than pleased with the decision.
Less than pleased, Malone said with a laugh. That's a good way to put it. We'll take care of him. Don't worry about it. And for the love of God, stay the hell away from him.
You don't have to tell me that. I want nothing to do with him. I still have no idea what I ever did to deserve the shit he's thrown my way.
You exist. That's enough for him.
He's a member of the good old boy network around here, and they hate to see a woman get ahead on the job.
I'll never acknowledge the existence of this network you speak of. Your assessment is fairly spot on.
Sam rolled her eyes.
Whatever.
Listen, Sam. Not all of us old boys are members of that club. You're one of the most effective members of this department, and everyone knows it. If people have a beef with your success, that's on them, not you.
So you're saying it's more than just Ramsay?
I'm saying that success breeds contempt. Keep your friends close and ignore your enemies.
Thank you, Captain, for your unwavering support of me and my squad. It means the world. Flustered by the unexpected compliment, he said,
Sure, no problem. I'll, let you get to it.
What was it with men who couldn't take a compliment, Sam wondered, as she gathered her keys, phone, and notebook, and locked up the office to hit the streets. Nick was the same way. Every time she made a comment about his extreme hotness, he turned bright red and got all flustered. She loved making that happen, and smiled just thinking about it.
You won't have much to smile about later, said a snide voice that she quickly identified as Ramsay's. Forrester is going to throw the book at you, you cocky bitch.
We'll see about that, won't we? She said, without stopping or looking back.
You're going down, and there are a lot of people here who will be celebrating.
Sam didn't justify that with a response. He couldn't get to her if she didn't let him, and she had no plans to let him. She began to actively look forward to the meeting with Forrester, if for no other reason than to see or hear about Ramsay's reaction when he found out there wouldn't be an indictment. Sam giggled at the thought of his rage and pushed open the door to the swampy summer heat that was always such a relief after being inside the frigid building. The relief was short-lived, however. Within seconds, she began to perspire and walked faster to get to the cool comfort of her car. Freddie leaned against the car, checking his phone while he waited for her to unlock the door.
Ready?
As ready as I'll ever be.
What did Malone want? He asked when they were on their way.
A decision about Stahl and the Alfred plea.
What'd you tell him?
No deal. I'd rather go through a trial than let him off easy.
Good.
Is it wrong that I sort of relish the idea of his face turning purple when he hears that I refused the plea deal?
It's not wrong at all. He deserves every bit of hell that's coming his way for what he did to you.
On that, we agree.
Speaking of hell, what's the plan for Joe Kramer?
We're ruling out anyone who might have had a beef with either of them. Working the case, checking the boxes. I don't expect there to be anything, but you never know, so we check the boxes.
Got it.
Why don't you take the lead with him? He all but spun in his seat, mouth agape, eyes bugged.
Seriously? Now you want me to take the lead?
Sam tried to hide her amusement. You're at your best in situations that require a softer touch. You got this.
And you love to torture me.
That is simply not true. I'm training you. Big difference.
Whatever.
You used to be such a nice, respectful boy, she said with a cluck of disapproval. I can't understand what happened.
You happened.
Sam snorted with laughter. He was always so fun to mess with. Let's talk about your approach with Joe. Where will you start?
With our condolences and concern for him and his family.
Good. Then what? They went through it step by step until Freddie felt confident about what he needed to do.
You got this. If you say so.
I say so, and I'm always right. You know this. He muttered something under his breath. Let's talk about your bachelor party. Do you want it to be a surprise or not?
No surprises.
His emphatic response made her laugh. Poor sweet Freddie had no idea how many surprises she'd dreamed up for his big night. Whether or not she'd act on any of them remained to be seen.
It's not funny. I swear to God, if you make me regret asking you to be my best man woman...
Freddy, of course I'm going to make you regret it. Was there ever any doubt?
His tortured groan sparked another round of laughter for her.
I knew I should have asked Gonzo.
I hate to tell you that he's been my most willing co-conspirator. I have the worst friends ever.
Sam couldn't stop laughing. It was mean to torture him, but at least he was no longer obsessing about having to question Joe Kramer.
They arrived at Joe's Eckington townhouse a few minutes later. The three-story dwelling had a brick front, black shutters, ironwork around the windows, and black window boxes full of flowers. While they waited for someone to answer the door, Freddy said,
"You'll step in if I forget something, right?"
"Nope. You won't need me to step in. You've got this." The inside door opened, and Sam could immediately see the toll the last few days had taken on the handsome young man. They showed their badges out of habit, and he opened the storm door. Sam nudged Freddy.
"We're sorry to disturb you, Mr. Kramer, but we wondered if we could have a few minutes of your time."
"Have you found the people who killed my wife?"
"Not yet, but we're working on it. Do you have a minute to talk?"
His shrug conveyed a world of helplessness.
"I have nothing but time."
He stepped aside to admit them.
"My work told me to take a few weeks off, but that gives me too much time to think. I should just go back."
"What do you do for work?"
"I'm the director of marketing at a creative firm in Alexandria."
"And what did your wife do?"
Joe led them to a living room where they took seats next to each other on a sofa while he sat in an easy chair.
"She worked in the financial management office at Interior."
Freddy hesitated, but only for a second.
"I hope you know that we have to ask certain questions so we can fully investigate what happened. We mean no disrespect."
"I understand."
"Did either of you have problems with anyone in your lives? Family members, co-workers, neighbors? Anyone who might want to cause you harm?"
Joe shook his head.
"I can't think of anything, and I've been racking my brain trying to think of who could have done this to her. I just keep coming back to the same conclusion that it had to be random. Everyone loved Mel. She was a doll."
His voice caught and his eyes filled.
"I'm still getting used to speaking of her in the past tense. How can she be past tense when she was just here 2 days ago?"
"I can't imagine how hard this has to be for you and your family."
He ran his fingers through his hair repeatedly until it stood on end.
"It's a fucking nightmare."
"I also have to ask if either of you was having any sort of financial problems."
"We had the usual challenges everyone has. We chose to live in the city for a few years before we have kids, and it's not cheap to buy here, so we decided to rent until we're ready to buy. We also ran up some debt with fertility treatments. When we found out Mel was pregnant, we started talking about looking for a place in the suburbs. She wanted a yard for the baby."
It was, Sam thought, so unbearably sad to sit with this man, days after his life had been destroyed in a matter of seconds, most likely in a random act of violence that would never make sense.
"No gambling or risky investments, or anything that might grab the attention of someone who wanted to hurt you?"
Freddy asked. Sighing, Joe shook his head.
"Nothing like that."
Freddy glanced at Sam, who nodded in approval.
"We won't take any more of your time."
Freddy handed his card to Joe.
"If you think of anything else that might be relevant, please call me."
Joe took the card.
"I will.
We'll see ourselves out."
"Is it possible you'll never catch them?"
Sam turned back.
"That's always possible. But I promise you we're doing everything we can.
The FBI is assisting in the investigation, and every member of the MPD is looking for these people."
"That's something, I guess."
"The minute we know anything," Sam added, "we'll be in touch."
"Thank you."
As they emerged into the swampy heat, Freddy released a deep breath.
"You did good. I knew you would. It's so hard to have to grill someone who just lost the most important person in his life."
"It is.
But you get why it has to be done, right?
Yeah, I get it.
What's next? Now we check the boxes on some of the stuff that's been called into the tip line. They spent the next few hours crisscrossing the city, talking to people, doing interviews, gathering information, none of which was of much use to them. But like the conversations with the victims' families, it had to be done. At 1:45, Sam asked Freddie to drop her at the federal building on 4th Street Northwest for her meeting with U.S. Attorney Tom Forrester.
You want me to wait for you?
Nah, I'll walk back to HQ.
You don't walk, especially not in this heat. Call me and I'll come get you.
Yes, Mom. Sam got out and shut the door before he had time to form a retort. The intense heat smacked her in the face and had her dashing up the stairs to get inside.
Never let them see you sweat.
Chapter 14. Their lawyer friend, Andy Simone, and his colleague, Kurt Hager, were waiting for her in the lobby. Sam shook hands with them.
Did Forrester give you any hint of which way he was leaning?
Kurt asked, as they headed for the elevators. No, but Nick did. She explained about Nick's request for a heads-up that hadn't come.
Well, that's good news, Andy said, visibly relieved.
No kidding, Sam said. We've got enough headlines with our names in them without adding to them. Kurt held the elevator door for her and Andy. Even though Sam felt confident about the outcome of this meeting, it still made her nervous to be summoned by the U.S. attorney on a matter that involved her personally. She wasn't proud of how she'd let Ramsey get to her, or of punching him, but she'd probably do it again under the same circumstances. Forrester's admin gave Sam a VIP welcome, just like the last time she'd been there, when Forrester told her he was taking her case to the grand jury. When they were offered beverages, the lawyers asked for coffee while Sam chose ice water. They had finished their drinks by the time they were shown into Forrester's spacious office. The U.S. attorney came around the desk to greet them with handshakes. Tall with silver hair and sharp blue eyes, he spoke with a thick New York accent. When they were settled in the conversation area next to a big window, he said,
I appreciate your patience while the grand jury considered your case. After careful deliberation, the people have declined to recommend charges.
Sam tried to conceal the euphoria that erupted inside her.
What a relief.
I want you to understand that your actions constitute felony assault. While I appreciate that neither you nor the vice president asked for any special favors, you are in fact catching a lucky break here.
I understand.
I don't want to see you here again under circumstances such as this.
You won't.
You should also know that we've notified Sergeant Ramsey of the grand jury's decision, and needless to say, he is less than pleased. He mentioned his intent to file civil charges against you.
Okay.
Well, unless you have any other questions, that concludes this matter as far as my office is concerned.
Will you issue a public statement?
Kurt asked.
We will not. If you wish to, that's at your discretion.
Sam stood and reached out to shake his hand.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
She led the lawyers from the room and nodded to the admin on her way by. None of them said anything until they were in the elevator.
Thank God that's over, Andy said, breaking the silence.
It's over with from a criminal standpoint, Kurt said. But I'd expect Ramsey to follow through with his threat to file a civil suit.
Sam shrugged.
Let him. I don't care.
With the threat of prosecution off her shoulders, anything else seemed minor in comparison.
Let us know if you require representation in a civil matter, Kurt said. We've got some good people who could handle that for you.
I will.
Sam shook hands with them.
Thank you both for your help with this. I appreciate it.
We didn't do anything, Andy said. Your presence at the meetings with Forrester was a big help. Make sure you bill me for your time.
Nah, it's on the house, Andy said.
Anything for you and Nick.
Thanks again, she said with a smile for him.
You need a ride? Andy asked.
No, thanks. I'm going to walk back to work. It's only a couple of blocks. All right, talk soon. See you later. As she walked the short distance to HQ, she placed a call to Nick, who answered on the third ring.
What'd he say?
Well, hello to you too.
Come on, Sam. I've been waiting for you to call.
As you already know, no charges will be forthcoming. She heard his deep sigh of relief.
That's great news.
Yes, it is. However, when Forrester told Ramsey there'd be no criminal charges, he mentioned his plans to pursue the matter civilly.
Okay.
That's what I said, too. Let him sue me. Who cares?
We don't, that's for sure.
Forrester said they have no plans to make a public statement about the outcome of the grand jury proceeding. But there's nothing stopping me from doing it. I was thinking about giving Darren an exclusive to keep him on my good side.
What do you think? Go for it.
It'll resurrect the story of me punching one of my fellow officers.
So? He had it coming.
Sam laughed. This is one of the many reasons why I love you so much. Most politicians would have hives at the thought of their wife being back in the news for punching a colleague.
I'm not most politicians, and you're not most wives.
Don't you ever wish you were married to a nice, sweet girl who hosted teas and fundraisers for her husband like a good political wife?
Hell no. I've never wanted to be married to anyone but you, as you well know.
He still made her heart beat fast when he said things like that, even after all this time. It takes a special kind of guy to put up with a wife like me, and I'm thankful every day that I found a special kind of guy.
I'm the lucky one.
Thanks for all the support during this episode. I'll try harder to think before I punch in the future. His laughter made her smile.
If anyone else ever says you deserved what Stahl did to you, you have my permission and encouragement to flatten them.
Duly noted. What's happening in your world? Any news from the hearings?
They're just getting started today, with Nelson's chief of staff testifying. He knew nothing about what Christopher was up to, of course.
Of course. When does the president testify?
Not until later this week or early next week. That'll be a three-ring circus.
I'm looking forward to that being over, too.
No kidding. I've got to run. Graham is here to say hello, and I have another meeting after that.
Okay, I'll see you at home. Love you.
Love you too, babe. Thanks for calling.
Pleasure was all mine. She ended the call to the sound of his laughter. God, he was the best. In her wildest dreams, she never could have imagined finding a guy who got her the way he did. His love made it possible for her to cope with all the crap that constantly flew her way, and to not let it get to her the way she would have in the past. Filled with relief after getting the official word from Sam, Nick put his phone on the desk and gave himself a couple of minutes to regroup before his meeting with Graham O'Connor. Thank God she hadn't been indicted. That would have been another nightmare on top of the one they were already dealing with. And he liked to operate on a one-nightmare-at-a-time policy. When, not if, Ramsey sued her, that'd make for more salacious headlines. But Nick wasn't concerned about the civil suit or the headlines. Ramsey had deserved exactly what he'd gotten from Sam, and any rational person would agree. The civil suit would probably be as much of a non-starter as the criminal case had been. But it bothered him that she'd made another fierce enemy within the department, especially since the last one had nearly killed her. He tried to shake off his worries about her safety, reminding himself once again that she could more than take care of herself. Exhibit A, punching Ramsey in the face and sending him flying down a flight of stairs. Recalling her comment about how he should have a nice, sweet wife who served tea to campaign contributors made him smile, and then laugh as he tried to picture Sam presiding over tea parties. She'd probably stab someone with her ever-present rusty steak knife. Still smiling at the idea of Sam the Stepford wife, Nick went to the door to greet Graham, who waited for him in the reception area. His mentor, who'd been like an adopted father to him, jumped up and greeted Nick with a big smile and a hug.
You're looking well, Mr. Vice President. Graham's eyes sparkled with delight. Tanned and rested. Nick ushered him into the office and shut the door.
I'll give you tanned, but the rest has been a little hard to come by lately. I can only imagine.
Graham took a seat on one sofa while Nick settled on the other, loosening his tie.
You want a drink?
No, thank you. Lane doesn't want me drinking at all when I'm driving. Something about my new blood pressure medicine or some such nonsense.
I'll be sure to tell her that you were on your best behavior.
Graham replied to that with a feisty scowl that made Nick laugh. At 81, the retired senator showed no signs of slowing down.
Tell me the truth. Have you been sent here on a mission by the DNC?
Not officially. Nick raised a brow, hoping he'd elaborate.
They're concerned about whether you'll be ready to step up should the need arise.
I'm the Vice President, Graham. Being ready to step up should the need arise is at the top of the job description.
You know what I mean. They want you to vet VP candidates and be ready for whatever might happen.
I'm not willing to do that until I have to. If word gets out that I'm vetting VP candidates and putting together an administration, that'll only add fuel to an already out-of-control fire.
I understand why you feel that way, and I agree. But this could happen very quickly. If it does, you'll need to have your ducks in a row.
I'll give it some thought. But there will be no vetting or anything else. Not yet.
Graham studied him, his head tilted to the side and his eyes fierce.
You're one cool customer, Mr. Vice President.
Is that how it seems?
Indeed. In your shoes, anyone else would be shitting a brick.
Sam and I have agreed to take this one step at a time. Spinning ourselves up with thoughts of what if or what might be is counterproductive. The hearings are just getting started and could drag on for weeks. I refuse to spend all that time locked up in speculation. Nelson isn't going down without a fight, and anyone who thinks he is doesn't know him very well.
There are many within the party leadership who'd like to see him resign, to save us the spectacle of possible impeachment.
Nick's stomach nodded at the thought of the president resigning.
Is it only talk?
For now, but if the hearings start to go south, it'll be more than talk.
I can't imagine any scenario that has him resigning. He's been steadfast in his denials that he had anything to do with Christopher's scheme.
That doesn't mean it's true.
Granted, but I'm going to let the hearings play out and see what happens. Please pass along the message that no amount of pressure will change my mind about how I plan to handle this situation. If I'm required to step up, I'll do it when the time comes. But I'm not interested in talking about what-if scenarios in the meantime.
After a long pause, Graham said, "Can I ask you something?"
"Anything you want."
"Do you aspire to be president at some point in the future?"
And there was the one question he couldn't avoid for much longer.
"I don't know if I do."
Graham's face went slack with shock.
"Are you kidding me right now?"
"I would never joke about something so important."
"But you're the heir apparent, the presumptive nominee, the great hope of the party. You have to know that."
"I do."
"And you don't want it?"
"I have no burning desire to be president, especially after having lived under the watchful eyes of the Secret Service for the last 10 months. You can't begin to know how restrictive it is to be stuck inside the gilded cage until you're in there looking out at the rest of the world."
I don't know what to say."
"Don't say anything, to anyone, for now. If Nelson manages to hang on, we won't need to have this conversation again for another year. By then, I may feel differently. But if I had to decide right now, today, there's no way I'd run."
"I'm truly shocked to hear this. And the party would be, too."
"I understand the expectations, and I appreciate their faith in me. But if I'm going to put myself and my family through a lengthy campaign, and all the crap that goes with it, I'd have to have the fire in the belly, and I'm not feeling the burn.
Graham continued to stare at him before clearing his throat. I think maybe I'll have that drink now. Nick got up and went to the credenza, where he kept a bottle of bourbon and a couple of glasses. He poured a drink for each of them and delivered Graham's to him without comment about his wife's instructions. Graham took a sip and set the glass on the table.
Listen to me. I know you still have some misguided idea that you're only where you are because my son was murdered, and you were tapped to take his place in the Senate. But that's total bullshit. You're where you are because you're one of the most naturally gifted politicians of this or any other generation. People connect to you. They like you. If you want the job, it would be yours to lose. And you're too smart to lose. Do you know how many people would sell their souls to the devil to be in the position you're in, with sky-high approval ratings and the kind of popularity we rarely see anymore in this town?
I know. I get it. But that doesn't mean I want it.
I don't even know what to say to you right now.
Nick laughed at Graham's unusual befuddlement.
I'm sorry to shock and distress you. You've done both those things.
Come on, Graham. It can't come as a total surprise to you, knowing how much I dislike being VP and dealing with the Secret Service and everything else that comes with it.
You dislike the job because Nelson is so threatened by your popularity, he refuses to give you any opportunities to shine.
It's not that so much as the increased attention on me and my family, the confines of being surrounded by Secret Service agents, and losing the freedom to do what I want when I want. Not to mention everyone in the world knows who my wife is and what she does for a living, without Secret Service protection. Under normal circumstances, we wouldn't be having this conversation for another year or more. So it's nothing anyone needs to worry about right now. If Nelson is forced out, I'm prepared to step up. That's all you need to tell the DNC. I really don't want them all over me about the next election cycle. Not now.
I understand.
Well, I don't really, but I'll respect your wishes.
I'm sorry if this is hard for you to understand. Try to see it from my point of view. I'm doing my thing as chief of staff to a senator, and then overnight, I'm the senator, and then less than a year later, I'm the vice president. Some days I feel like I've been swept up in a riptide, and I don't recognize my own life. It's been a fast, wild ride. I'd never deny that, but it sort of feels like destiny in a way, doesn't it?
I suppose. But I want to be intentional about my decisions going forward, and not so caught up in the current that I don't take a minute to breathe.
I hear you.
I hope you know how much I appreciate your support. It's meant everything to me, from the first day we met through everything that's happened since. I couldn't have done any of this without you in my corner.
Aw, hell, that's not true.
Yes, it is, Graham. I never would have considered this career without your encouragement. I certainly wouldn't be vice president without you.
If you want to believe that, I won't argue with you.
That's a first, Nick said with a laugh.
Graham laughed with him and then got up to leave.
No matter what you do or don't do, I'll always be proud of you.
Nick stood to shake his hand.
That means everything to me.
Chapter 15.
Once again, the frigid HQ air was a welcome relief after the walk through dense humidity. She should have let Freddy pick her up. Sam found her entire squad gathered in the pit, along with Malone and Deputy Chief Conklin. Everyone turned to face her, looking for info. She flashed a big smile and thumbs up. Her team erupted into cheers and applause that was interrupted by shouts from the other corridor that led to the pit.
You fucking smug bitch.
Ramsey. Another officer held him back from storming the pit.
Go ahead and have your celebration, but I'll have your ass and your badge before this is over.
Ramsey broke free of the hold the other officer had on him and charged toward her. Freddy, Gonzo, Malone, and Green stopped him,
pushing him back.
This is not over, you fucking cunt!
Sam completely ignored him, while the others forced him backward into the other hallway. Anyone have an update on the shooting case for me? Sam asked. Jeannie looked up at her with big eyes. Sam smiled and winked at her. Flustered, Jeannie blinked and consulted her notes.
As you requested, I looked into the couple that witnessed Melody Kramer's shooting, and they both check out. No criminal record for either. Same with Jamal's sisters. I took the liberty of running the financials for everyone involved, and something sort of odd popped on Joe Kramer's report.
Sam's stomach took a dive, the way it often did when they were onto something. What have you got?
He's deeply in debt, to the tune of $250,000.
Jeannie handed her a sheet of paper that detailed the debts, mostly lines of credit.
What the hell?
He just told us an hour ago that there was nothing in their lives, including their finances or investments, that we needed to know for the investigation.
Looks like we'll be paying him another visit.
From the lobby area, Sam could hear Ramsey continuing to scream and make a scene. If he kept that up, he'd get himself suspended, which wouldn't break her heart.
Maybe there's a reasonable explanation for it, Jeannie said,
casting a nervous glance at the lobby. I hope so. I've been feeling kind of sorry for the guy after losing his pregnant wife the way he did. I'd hate to think it happened because of something he's into. Good work, Jeannie.
Thank you, Lieutenant.
She looked toward the lobby again.
Are you all right?
He doesn't bother me. Don't worry. Sam went into her office and placed a call to Darren Tabor.
Sam, to what do I owe the honor of this unexpected phone call?
How does an exclusive sound?
About the Nelson situation?
Nope. About the grand jury deciding not to indict me on assault charges for punching Sergeant Ramsey, who's currently losing his shit in the MPD lobby.
Tell me everything.
Sam gave him a full rundown on her meeting with Forrester and what the USA had said about the grand jury proceedings.
You must be relieved, Darren said.
I'm glad not to be indicted, but I wouldn't go so far as to say I'm relieved. While what I did technically constituted assault, most rational people probably would have done what I did under the same circumstances. I'd just been nearly killed at the hands of a fellow officer. I wasn't really in the mood to hear from yet another colleague that the first one should have finished me off when he had the chance.
I probably would have punched him too.
Sam laughed. Look, I want to say that as a 14-year member of the MPD, I don't condone violence of any kind. I'm not proud of my actions that day. But it happened, and now I'm ready to put it behind me. She decided to forget to mention Ramsey's plan to sue her for damages.
Should the public conclude that the incidents involving you, Stahl, and Ramsey are an indication of strife within the department?
Not at all. These are isolated instances of men who resent me for being a successful woman on a job traditionally held by men. I get it. They're threatened by me. Fortunately, it's just a few people who feel this way. I work harmoniously with many other men in this department, both above and below me in rank. Darren snorted with laughter.
Ramsey will go ballistic when he sees that quote.
Let him. If you could hear the racket he's currently making, you'd know he clearly has anger management issues. I'm the least of his concerns.
Can you give me anything on the shootings?
We're working every lead, and we encourage the public to call our tip line if they hear anyone bragging about the shootings, or if they have anything at all that they think we ought to know. Sometimes it's the littlest detail that can break a case like this wide open.
Do you think we've seen the last of the shootings?
We hope so, but we have no way to know that for sure. We believe we've recovered the vehicle that was used and are having it fully processed by the lab. Until we apprehend the people responsible for the shootings, we continue to encourage residents to stay off city sidewalks, especially side streets, unless they absolutely have to be outside.
That's a tough order this time of year.
We realize that, but it's the only way we can ensure the safety of our citizens.
Can you give me anything about Nelson and the hearing, Sam? I'll take whatever you're willing to give me.
I'll just say this. Like everyone else in America, Nick and I are watching the democratic process play out, and we won't have any further comment.
I guess that's something, he said glumly.
It's all I've got.
You guys are tough cookies to be staying so calm and collected through all of this.
If you say so. I gotta get back to work. Don't screw me over, Darren.
Have I ever screwed you over, Sam?
Not yet, and that's why I called you. Don't let me down.
I won't. Thanks for this. I appreciate it.
Gotta go. Sam closed her phone and sat back in her chair, hoping she'd done the right thing, adding fuel to the fire with Ramsay by talking to Darren. Oh well, what was done was done. Let's have our meeting, she said, when Freddy, Gonzo, and Green returned to the pit.
Malone suspended him, Gonzo said. Told him to go home for a week and not to come back until he could control himself.
Freddy picked up the story.
To which he said, the way she did?
He's not our problem, Sam said. Finding a shooter who's gunning down people in our city? That's our problem. Conference room, everyone. Her team followed her into the conference room and took seats around the table. Jeannie ran the financials on everyone involved with the case and has discovered Joe Kramer is in debt to the tune of $250,000. Freddie's eyes widened in surprise.
He just told us.
I know. We'll be having another conversation with him after this. What else did we get today? One by one, the detectives reported in about who they'd spoken with and what they'd uncovered, which wasn't much of anything. Green impressed her with his brief but thorough report on what he and Gonzo had done. This case is pissing me off, she said, releasing her hair from the clip that contained it during the workday. Malone came into the room.
Simmons finally found someone willing to represent him in his latest visit to the MPD. He'll be here in an hour or two.
That's something anyway, Sam said.
I haven't had much time to spend on the sharpshooter angle today, Malone added.
I can pick that up from home later, Jeannie said.
Appreciate that, Sam said.
Cruz, you and I will talk to Joe Kramer one more time and then come back to interview Simmons. Everyone else can call it a day.
And you guys say I'm lucky to be her partner, Freddy said, grinning at the others.
You're blessed to be my partner.
Yes, ma'am, he said.
You'll never hear me say otherwise. Keep digging your own grave, Cruz,
Gonzo said. Thanks for a great first day, Detective Green, Sam said. Hopefully you'll decide to come back tomorrow.
I'll be here, he said with an engaging grin as he left the room.
Rush hour traffic made for a slow roll to Joe's house. The federal workforce is back from summer vacation, Sam said.
Happens every year the day after Labor Day.
I need to call Scotty to see how the first day of school went. She made the call and put it on speaker while juggling the steering wheel. If you had a thing called a smartphone, Freddy said, you could tell it to call Scotty for you without risking both our lives and the lives of everyone on the road with us.
Good to know, Sam said, glaring in his direction. And P.S., your passive aggressiveness will be noted on your next eval.
Was it passive? I didn't intend it to be. She choked back a laugh as Scotty answered his phone.
Hi, Mom.
Hearing him call her that never got old. It was her favorite of her many titles. Hi there. Freddy is here with me, and we wanted to see how the first day went.
He gave us homework on the first freaking day.
Freddy rocked with silent laughter.
No more easing you into it, huh? Sam asked.
No. They said they'll be getting us ready for high school this year. And I thought middle school was bad. High school is going to be awful.
Sam held back a burst of laughter that she knew he wouldn't appreciate.
Was it fun to see your friends?
Yeah, but we all have different lunches this year, so that kind of sucks.
Any new kids this year? Sam asked. Trying to find something positive.
A couple. There's this one girl, Annie, who seems nice, She moved here from California over the summer. At first, she was all weirded out by being in class with the vice president's son. I told her we don't make a big deal of it, and she seemed cool with it. She's in my algebra class and is really good at it. She said she'd help me out.
That's a good friend to have.
I know, that's what I told her.
Is Dad home yet?
Not yet, but he texted to say he's on the way soon. I'm going over to Grandpa Skiff's house. He wants to know how school was.
I'll be home in a little while. I'll see you then.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Sam closed the phone. Can I laugh now?
Better now than when he can hear you.
It's so funny to me how he's so much like me in some ways and so much like Nick in others. I used to go into a deep, dark funk on the first day of school. Dyslexia made my life a living hell. But of course, no one really knew what it was back then. I feel his pain. He's so damned cute. I wouldn't be able to hold it together if my kid was saying that kind of stuff. Another reason why I probably shouldn't have kids.
We already talked about that. You are having kids, and that's the end of it.
By the way, in case you don't already know this, you're my boss at work. You're not the boss of the rest of my life.
Where the hell did you get that idea?
I am the boss of you, period. You're having kids. That subject is closed.
You're completely out of control.
You say that like this is news to you or something.
He busted up laughing.
You are entertaining to have around, I'll give you that.
I do what I can for the people.
That thing with Ramsey was intense.
Yeah.
Are you okay? I mean, he said some crappy shit.
I'm fine. He doesn't bother me. I'm used to him and his crappy shit.
You really think he's going to sue you?
I'm sure he will.
All this because he's jealous of your career. It's ridiculous.
It is what it is. Let's not give him any more of our time. It's just what he wants.
What are we going to say to Joe Kramer? He asked.
I was just about to ask what you had planned.
He groaned. Why did I know you were going to say that?
Because I'm nothing if not predictable.
That is true.
I guess I'll ask him why he didn't tell us about the $250,000 debt and ask if there's more that wouldn't show up on a run of financials. I'll let him know it's in his best interest to tell us now rather than letting us figure it out for ourselves.
Make sure you mention how we hate when people waste our time. Two trips to his house in this traffic is a huge waste of our time. In fact, you can start with that.
Got it. With Freddie occupied with his phone, Sam pressed a button on hers to make it ring.
Holland.
She pretended to listen.
No, I said midget strippers. There's a big difference. I want the little people.
She paused, glanced at Freddie, and said,
I don't know. Let me ask him.
Holding the phone to one side, she said, You're not allergic to latex, are you?
The look he gave her would have killed a lesser person.
Sam wanted to howl with laughter, but somehow managed to maintain her composure.
He's good with latex.
Yes, this Saturday at 10.
Don't let me down.
As she slapped the phone closed, it took everything she had to maintain her composure while she counted down to herself. 5, 4, 3, 2.
Are you freaking kidding me, Sam? Midget strippers? And what the hell are you doing with latex?
Out of the corner of her eye, she noticed the vein in his forehead bulging and had to bite the inside of her cheek to keep from losing her shit.
Mind your own business.
I swear to God.
Please don't take the Lord's name in vain, young Freddy. You'll go straight to hell.
I'd rather go to hell than this party you're having. In fact, count me out.
You'll be there.
No, I won't.
We'll see about that.
And P.S., the word midget is not acceptable, as you'd know if you'd ever attended required sensitivity training.
I'm not calling them that. The strippers call themselves that.
I can't believe we're even talking about such a thing.
Really? You can't?
He shook his head and released a deep sigh. Sam had to fight the urge to laugh hysterically at his distress. They arrived at the Kramer residence a short time later and had to double park. Let's make this quick, before some overeager patrol officer gets a big idea to ruin his career by towing my car, Sam said. Still fuming at her, Freddie knocked on the door. Kramer's sister Sarah answered.
Have you found the person who killed Mel? She asked when she let them in.
Not yet, Freddie said, but we wondered if we could have another word with Joe.
He said you were here earlier.
Right, Freddie replied. We have a few loose ends to tie up.
He's lying down. He hasn't slept since... Does it have to be now?
Yeah, it does, Freddie said.
I'll go get him. You can wait in the front room.
Rather than sit like they had before, they remained standing, until Joe Kramer appeared with his sister trailing behind him a few minutes later.
Could we speak to you alone? Freddie asked.
I don't mind if Sarah is here. Freddie glanced at Sam, who nodded, encouraging him to go ahead with it.
We know this is a difficult time for you, sir, Freddie said. But one thing that really irritates us is when people waste our time.
I'm afraid I don't know what you're talking about. Freddie handed him the printout that detailed his debts. Joe glanced at it and visibly sagged.
What is it, Joe?
He ignored his sister's question.
What does that have to do with anything?
The fact that you're deeply in debt is something you should have revealed to us when we asked if there was anything else material to the investigation that you thought we ought to know, Freddie said.
Debt? Sarah asked. What kind of debt?
I took some of the money we'd saved for a house to buy into a business opportunity, he told her. I wasn't going to say anything about it until the investment paid off.
We need the details of the business opportunity.
Freddie held out his notebook and a pen, including the names and phone numbers of everyone involved. Joe's complexion drained of color.
You're not going to talk to them, are you?
Is there any particular reason why you wouldn't want us to?
They're working on a top-secret defense project.
When his legs seemed to fail him, he sat down hard on the sofa.
If I send cops to them, they'll cut me out, and I'll never get back my investment.
We'll let them know you didn't have a choice, Freddie said.
Start writing, and don't leave anything out. If there are other debts besides the ones listed on that sheet, write them down. If we have to come back here again because we find out something else you didn't tell us, you could face obstruction charges.
The man just lost his wife, Sarah said testily. Is it really necessary to speak to him this way?
I'm afraid it is, Freddie said.
Did your wife know about the investment?
No, she didn't.
I wanted to come back to her with a windfall. She was so stressed out about how much the fertility treatments cost. I wanted to do something to make her happy.
He looked up at them, his eyes filled with heartbreak.
You don't think something I did got her killed, do you?
We have no way to know that until we investigate further, Freddie said. The sooner you tell us what we need to know, the sooner we can get to it.
How did these people find you? Sam asked.
Through one of my colleagues at work.
Friend of a friend.
Write down the colleague's name, too, Sam said. It took about 15 tearful minutes for him to finish the list and hand the notebook back to Freddie.
I'm only going to ask this once, Freddie said. Is there anything else we should know about your life or Melody's? Anything at all?
No, he said, shaking his head. That's it. You'll let me know what you find out.
We will.
What am I supposed to do in the meantime? Do I act like I haven't set the cops on them?
Sarah sat next to him and put her arm around him. He leaned into her.
Don't say a word to them about us, Sam said. If you do, that too could result in an obstruction charge. If something I did got her killed.
He shook his head.
How will I live with that?
Nothing you did caused this, Sarah said. You loved her. Everyone knew that.
He dropped his head into his hands and began to sob.
We'll see ourselves out, Freddie said. Stay local in case we need to get in touch.
Where else would I go? He asked.
Chapter 16.
That was brutal, Freddie said when they were outside.
I still feel sorry for the guy, even though he wasted our time.
Me too.
Call Malone and have him run the names Kramer gave us. While Freddy did that, Sam drove them back to HQ,